Welcome to Simple Living Works. I'm Jerry Iverson. I'm pleased to be your host for Whose Birthday? Featuring audio selections from Simple Living Works' signature publication, the annual for individuals, families, and congregations, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. We've produced a real treasure trove of audio, video, and text resources for you, your family, and your congregation or group. We do promote alternative giving. See the link in the show notes for the guidelines for year-round alternative giving, as well as the classic Christmas versions. Basically, alternative giving means giving away at least 25% of what you spent last year on all celebrations, Christmas, birthdays, etc., to national, local, and international causes. Our mission is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. All three parts of our mission are especially wrapped up in our resources for Advent and Christmas, when consumerism is at its peak, when we need reminders both to be charitable instead of spending so much on ourselves, and to challenge the systems that make charity necessary, and to celebrate in simple ways that focus on relationships instead of stuff. Our site contains familiar titles, such as Unplug the Christmas Machine Workshop, Carols with Justice, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas, and many more. Check out our extensive resource index. The link is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Much of Whose Birthday is also available in Spanish text. Please share it with your Spanish-speaking friends. See the link in the show notes. This short series is different from the previous year's Whose Birthday podcast series, which, by the way, are still available in our site. If you missed them or would like to hear them again, visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click Preview, Backup. In this episode, I present part of an audio adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you'll listen to the entire series, though each episode is self-contained. The series contains reflections and activities designed especially for the weeks of Advent and Christmas, including the Feast of the Epiphany. We'll have guest voices and writers, some well-known, some lesser-known. Links to the numerous references in this episode are in the show notes. I'll let you in on a little secret. All 4 episodes of this series are already produced and available at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, in the Preview Backup Index. So if you don't want to wait for each to be released in iTunes or Stitcher, visit the site and listen to all or some of the series. The topics for each episode are there too, so you know what each episode contains. This series comes from edition number 20, which is based on the liturgical cycle A, the Gospel of Matthew, the same as this Christmas and Advent. Note, this edition, unlike the previous ones, does not contain a daily calendar. However, there are some 20 to choose from in our archives.
The Promise of Advent, Gospel Nonviolence, by Paul Ammerhein. John chapter 8, verses 2 to 11. Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go on your way, and from now on, do not sin again." The Promise of Advent is nothing less than Jesus' proclamation of the reign of God. Our daily scripture readings for this season are full of the promise of God's covenant with the chosen people for Israel to send a Messiah to redeem them. This Messiah showed us the way to be God's children. 2,000 years later, we are still an Advent people trying to live out that promise. Nonviolence is an integral part of living out that promise, a mainstay of Jesus' gospel message, and a reflection of the Advent season. Take, for example, Jesus' handling of the woman caught in adultery in John 8:2-11, where Jesus prevents a woman from being stoned to death. The crowd, ready to cast stones, represents a very human tendency to want to have the situation brought to closure and move on. The punishment is prescribed, carry it out, and the world is a better place. Jesus' nonviolent handling of the situation, telling the crowd, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone," may appear to be a clever end to the story, but such is never the case with gospel nonviolence. The practice of gospel nonviolence is ever the beginning, ever the Advent story. Its challenge is that there is rarely an immediate solution or closure, but rather it provides the opportunity for the gospel of God's love to take root and bloom. This is an important point for contemporary Christians who too frequently look for others to take leadership in applying the gospel and or blame others for evil in the world. As followers of Christ, we believe God loves each of us equally, and each of us is accountable to God. The difference nonviolence makes in the story as told is, all have the chance to repent and follow the gospel. The adulterous woman in this story, aside from receiving the scare of her life, is given the opportunity to repent. The stone throwers also see their own need to repent. Whenever we practice gospel nonviolence in our lives, it is rarely an immediate solution to our problem. Rather, it is the beginning of the solution. It provides us the opportunity to work out our differences with those with whom we are in conflict. A primary problem in dealing with violence in our culture is that so few of us recognize the violence in our own lives. Our actions and words help perpetuate a culture of violence. The United States has one of the highest violent crime rates in the world, the highest percentage of its people incarcerated in the world, and one of the only industrialized democracies of the world with a death penalty, sadly enough, popularly supported by many Christians. Watch the news, just about any TV program, and see violence. Hear it in the language. Violent talk, violent actions, all breed more violence. The challenge of Advent is to examine our own lives. Do we treat every person with dignity and respect as a child of God? Are we truly making way for Christ to be born among and within us? Prayer. God of peace, help me to recognize the violence in American culture and in my life. Give me insight to figure out ways to replace it with peacemaking. Give me strength to be an example of peacemaking. Discussion questions. 1. Are you surprised by the information about violence in American culture? Why or why not? 2. Where do you see violence in your home? TV? Video games? Other places? 3. Has physical violence affected your life or the lives of loved ones? How about verbal violence, disrespect, or bullying? How have you responded? How are you dealing with it? 4. Do you think everyday events, gossiping, backbiting, name-calling, are violence? How do you deal with such situations? Paul Ammerhein serves as the Director of Social Concerns at Catholic Community of St. Francis of Assisi, Raleigh, North Carolina. If you enjoyed this article, you'll also enjoy these resources. Kids Creating Circles of Peace, or Raising Kids Who Will Make a Difference, or How to Teach Peace to Children, or Gifts of Peace Packet, Getting Beyond Trading, Finding the Right Recipient for Our Gifts, by John Marty. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." During the Great Depression, my parents considered themselves very fortunate if they, with their siblings together, received a toy for Christmas. Those were tough times, and they didn't have much, so their parents would stretch every last dime to get a gift for the kids. These were gifts of love and the spirit of the Christ child's birth. Times have changed. Children receive more toys at one Christmas than their grandparents received in their entire childhood. In our consumer society, most households have too much stuff. A big problem is finding a place to store it all. Yet despite our overabundance of possessions, we are taught that it is socially proper to buy Christmas presents for numerous people, not just family members, but nieces and nephews, coworkers, friends, and children's classmates. These days we trade gifts, more out of obligation than a spirit of giving. If someone gives us a gift because they found something special that they want us to have, we are socially obligated to return the favor. The Christmas gift exchange, where we draw names and everyone gives and gets a gift, has become expected behavior. Most participants in gift exchanges struggle to find a suitable gift for the recipient who has everything. So retailers sell us gift cards, allowing the recipients the ability to choose what they want. Not surprisingly, this has morphed into friends merely exchanging $10 or $20 gift cards. Several years ago, our son decided to illustrate the silliness of this when he and his cousin avoided the hassle of gift cards and simply exchanged $20 bills. We don't need to lose the giving spirit of Christmas. We just need to find recipients who could use our generosity. Church World Service and other groups have developed Christmas gift catalogs to help out. Several years ago, when our kids gave us a flock of chicks through Heifer Project International, they pointed out that this gift wouldn't add clutter to our house, and their gift gave some family a source of income, nutritious food, and a better future. That is truly meaningful Christmas giving. Prayer. O Lord, as we celebrate the gift of your coming, renew our spirit of generosity. You came to proclaim good news to the poor. Help us bring good news to the poor too, learning to give to those who need our gifts, not to those who struggle with too much. Give us the ability to see our neighbors in need around the globe and rejoice in our ability to give them needed gifts. Teach us to stand up to the social pressures of our society and remember the meaning of your birth. Discussion questions. 1. When I do Christmas gift shopping, why am I struggling to find something meaningful for each recipient? 2. Is this struggle due to my lack of creativity, or is the problem that the recipient is the person who has everything? 3. Instead of spending my energy finding the elusive right gift for my neighbor, could I spend more energy finding the right neighbor for my gift? How does Christ define our neighbor? When half of the world's population lacks sufficient resources for life, it shouldn't be hard to find someone who would appreciate a gift, whether it be food, shelter, or an economic opportunity. 4. Do we give gifts for the benefit of the recipient or for our benefit as giver? Are we giving gifts because we feel obligated to do so or because we believe the gift will improve the life of the recipient? John Marty has been a member of the Minnesota State Senate since 1987. He is chair of the Senate Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee. John has passed several nationally recognized government reform laws and has authored numerous environment, education, crime, and DWI laws. Marty is a graduate of St. Olaf College with a BA in ethics. The son of author and theologian Martin Marty, John is a former corporate foundation administrator and is a freelance writer. John and his wife Connie have 2 children and live in Roseville, Minnesota. If you enjoy this article, you will enjoy these resources: Affluenza and Escape from Affluenza DVDs, or Living More with Less, Book, Study, Action Guide, Poster, Postcard, Bookmark, or $100 Holiday, or The Conscious Consumer, Promoting Economic Justice Through Fair Trade.
Giving Big, A Modern-Day Widow's Mite, by Peter Marty. Jesus watched people putting money into the temple treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 copper coins worth a penny. Then he said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had to live on." Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. Luke chapter 20, verses 45 through 47. And chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. The manger scene on our church's front lawn had theft issues for 5 of the 8 years I served that city congregation. Someone was hell-bent on stealing the baby Jesus. I'm not sure what made this Jesus so attractive. I always figured that he probably landed in a house that needed him more than our outdoor creche. Most December mornings, my pattern was to check for a Jesus kidnapping as I made my way into the church office. One cold morning, when Jesus was fast asleep on the hay, I noticed a small wrapped package beside him. A tiny note with a misspelling was taped to the red Christmas paper. "Happy birthday, Jesus." I had no idea if this was a makeshift bomb, a booby trap, a candid camera setup, or an honest-to-goodness gift of some kind. And then, was it ethically right to remove something that was possibly as sacred as someone's personal gift to Jesus? Curiosity answered that moral quandary with a yes. I scooped up the present and brought it inside to open. Beneath the wrapping was an old shake-and-bake pork seasoning box. Inside it was 33 cents and a piece of notebook paper with some handwritten words. "Dear Jesus, happy birthday," spelled B-R-I-T-H-D-A-Y. "Here's some small change for you to feed someone hungry. I give myself to be kind as you were kind to other people on earth. Love, Maria." Maria lived next door to the church with 2 other women in a house our congregation had opened for those living with chronic mental illness. I didn't know much about Maria, since her schizophrenia had turned her into something of a recluse. But I knew she had a big heart. This day I discovered how big. Maria died before the next Christmas. I didn't have the heart to tell funeral goers about the gift I had stolen. The shake-and-bake box still sits in my desk drawer, though, now 15 years after I lifted it from the manger. Reverence for Maria won't let me let it go. And awe for what Christ brought out of this little woman with voices rattling around her head still has me wondering, when will I learn to give a gift as big? Prayer. Dear God, help us to see opportunities to be generous beyond ourselves. Give us the strength to take the first step. In Jesus' name, Amen. Discussion questions. Number 1. Tell about an experience you've had with a person who has mental illness. Number 2. Have you ever experienced a similar situation of generosity, a gift that was sacrificial, even though small? Number 3. What did the author mean by, "When will I learn to give a gift as big?" Can you ask the same question of yourself? Reverend Peter W. Marty is a senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Davenport, Iowa, and host of the Grace Matters radio program, gracematters.org. Yes, his brother John Marty also contributed to this issue. If you enjoyed this article, you'll also enjoy these resources: Alternative Giving Cards, Buy Me Nothing, I'll Still Love You, and Bearing Gifts Does Not Make Us Wise, all found in the Christmas Campaign Kit. Do Not Conform, But Be Transformed, from Anne Basie's Journal. Living at Holden Village, a retreat center in remote Washington State, makes me remember the church bulletin with Romans 12 on it that I used to keep tucked into my bedroom mirror for courage. Do not conform, but be transformed, kept me brave, able to press ahead with life changes that transformed me. I live this invitation. It's my mantra. Yes, I can resist consumer culture. Do not conform, but be transformed. Yes, I can talk to Alex or sit on the porch instead of watching TV. Do not conform, but be transformed. Yes, I can sell my car and live without one. Do not conform, but be transformed. Yes, I can work at home and be there for Alex. Do not conform, but be transformed. Yes, hand-me-down clothes are a gift. Do not conform, but be transformed. Yes, I can appreciate what I have instead of always wanting more. Do not conform, but be transformed. Yes, I can borrow CDs from the library instead of buying them. Do not conform, but be transformed. Yes, it's okay to shop at garage sales. Do not conform, but be transformed. Yes, I can say no once in a while and rest. Do not conform, but be transformed. Yes, God is inviting me to deepen my understanding of God's culture and try to live in God's principles in my faltering, imperfect way. Excerpt from Sustaining Simplicity, a journal, copyright 2007, ELCA Hunger Program, used by permission. Prayer. Transforming God, help us to see the conforming that we do that keeps us from doing your will. Open us to your change. In Jesus' transforming name, Amen. Discussion questions. Number 1. What is one of your favorite Bible verses? How is it helpful to you? Number 2. Name one area of your life that you feel needs transforming. Name 2 or 3 small steps that would start that transformation. Number 3. If you keep a journal, why? If not, why not? Number 4. How can you use the idea of transformation to go beyond simplistic New Year's resolutions? Author, columnist, and poet Anne Basie is a thoughtful observer and practitioner of simple lifestyles. A member of Unity Lutheran Church, she lives in Chicago with her son Alex, dog Barks, and many friends. If you enjoyed this article, you'll also enjoy these resources: Sustaining Simplicity, a journal, or Break Forth into Joy, Beyond a Consumer Lifestyle DVD, or Your Money or Your Life. Advent Haiku, number 14, by Kathy Brechtelsbauer. What then should we do? How can we be satisfied with only one coat? Based on Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, the proclamation of John the Baptist, for the third week of Advent. verses 10 through 11. And the crowds asked John, "What then should we do?" He replied, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise."
You've been listening to one part of the audio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? The text for all these items are available through the links in the show notes. Go to simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You're welcome to contribute to the online edition of Whose Birthday this year is number 28. It is updated as new material comes in, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas. Personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones, related to simplifying Christmas or finding meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Family activities, rituals, or worshipful ceremonies for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry, we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes. We get positive response to this podcast and to our blogs. I'll present some in a future episode. In the meantime, read them on the Simple Living Works website. The address is given in the show notes. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes. After this short series, we'll return to our interview format. Time to wrap up with this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works and would like more basic information, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview Backup and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscription to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to the other podcast, which I produce, the Common Good Podcast. I co-host that with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive way of life. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's need, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, "Live simply, that others may simply live," as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Come everyone who has thirst, those who have nothing come by. Why spend your labor for things that simply do not satisfy? Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. The bread in your cupboard belongs to one who is hungry out there, and the coats in your closet unused could warm up the ones who stand bare. Simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. See how the wealth you acquire is borne on the backs of the poor, whose children beg daily for food, whose land feeds your child who wants more. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Your children who need their own rooms lament that the forest will die, and those who would join field to field must stop long enough to ask why. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. God chose the weak of the world to shame the way of the strong. Learn how to live from the poor. Their wisdom will help us belong. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Do not conform to the world. Be certain that better's not more. Contentment will transform your need, awakening what God has in store. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.